Sean McKeel is joining us right now. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing well, John. How are you today?
You know, I'm good. I'm fired up. I mean, people, it's funny. I knew that I wanted to have you on. The first two phone calls were about Q School and how it's going to change and how it's going to affect. So we've explained as much of the change as we can, as we understand it. I mean, there's so many questions about, like, if you win the McGladrey next year, are you exempt through 2016 because it's part of the 2014 season?
Yeah.
I mean, and if so, I mean, look at Heath Slocum, who's 140-something on the money list. Well, he won it 2 years ago, and he might lose his card. The guy that wins it next year might get his card for a longer period of time. All of that's crazy.
Well, you know what? It's been kind of funny as being a European Tour member too. I know that I always questioned having a non-calendar year schedule. I was like, you know, why would you want to do that? And then in the PJ Tour, kind of stood true to its calendar year schedule, and now the European Tour has basically gone to a calendar year schedule, and the PJ Tour is going back. So. Although I think the European Tour, I think they're going back to a non-calendar year schedule. So, you know, it's a bit confusing, I suppose, for everybody. But I think the interest level is there. I mean, you're taking a lot of phone calls, and I suspect that Andy Pazder and the rest of the PJ Tour boys down there are fielding a lot of questions from players as well. It remains to be seen. I mean, you got 25 guys from the Nationwide or the Web.com Tour are going to have a tour card. So of those 150 guys that are going to play in that four tournament series, there's really only 25 spots available.
Right.
I think they've generated a lot of buzz and it may be a good thing at the end of the day. It's we'll just have to wait and see how it all kind of shapes up.
What was the reaction? Because this all came about pretty quickly, and you spent a lot of time in Europe this year. When it was finally announced and ratified, what was the reaction from the European Tour players? What percentage of them actually want to come play here in the States? Because obviously there's going to be some that have no interest, but some that do. And what was their reaction that said, you know, is this going to make it harder for me or easier? What are they saying?
Right. Well, you know, as I kind of mentioned to you a little bit last night at the end of the show that I played with Shane Lowry, who won in Portugal. We got paired together the first two rounds, and of course that topic came up because I've been kind of asking a few guys what they're doing. And he was one of, he thought, about 15 or 20 Europeans that were going to come over and play. I think that them realizing that that this being the last chance to really access the PGA Tour through really any really legitimate chance. I mean, how many guys get through on the exemptions? And you know, there's been a few guys right. over the years, but you know, there's quite a few guys that are coming over, and most of those, I think they all maybe have to go to first stage. With the amount of, I call it a defection. It's the European Tour has really allowed their members, and I speak of Rory and Justin Rose and Graham McDowell, and the list goes on, that they're allowing them to come over and play, and they're trying any way they can to keep those guys as European Tour members. They've gone up to 13 events, but they've basically created a number of loopholes. For instance, I was able to count the U.S. Open qualifier here in Memphis as an official European Tour event, which means that I then only had to play, that was one less tournament that I had to play. The PGA counted for me, so I really only had 11 events in Europe I had to play. So the PJ Tour has really drawn, with the amount of money that they play for, the FedEx Cup, the retirement. There's so many great things about the PJ Tour that people are coming to find out that the European Tour doesn't offer. And a lot of these guys want a piece of it.
Now, when you talk about them coming over for the all of those benefits, are they looking to move over here? I mean, are they going to do – Lee Westwood's buying a house. Rory's buying a house. We know about those guys. But would a Shane Lowry – I mean, is he looking to uproot and come over full-time?
I don't know. Matter of fact, I believe he was flying into the States today and was going to spend some time at Orlando, I think at Lake Nona is what he told me, to kind of get ready, get acclimated to the time and maybe the weather and everything else. But we never really got that far in our conversation, but
right.
I think I think the Europeans really appreciate the tour that they play on in Europe. But at the bottom line is, we do this for a living. And if you have an opportunity to go somewhere and you have great opportunities to earn the amounts of money that you can earn by playing well on the PGA Tour, I mean, why would you not want to do that? The tour, I'm not really knocking the tour. The tour has embraced the world golf, all these federations of tours and everything. But they've done everything. It's a business. And they've done everything they can to make sure that the PGA Tour is the best product in the world. And I think they're succeeding in that. And at the expense of some of the other tours. And I see it because I play, I've played a lot in Europe. And I see what it's doing to the European Tour. And they've been great to me. But, definitely the United States is the place to be.
Well, the Andalusia Masters, it was announced just a month ago that it's not going to take place. They lost a few other tournaments over there. Is that of great concern to the players that are playing full-time in Europe?
It is because, look, I was committed to that event, and it was going to be one of my 13 events because I was not sure that I was going to get into this tournament next week in China. I can't go to some of the events at the end of the fall because of my tour school, and they were basically going to tell me that if I didn't get my 13 events, and I wasn't going to be able to play. So they've lost several events due to, Portugal, Spain, Greece, all these countries in the Eurozone are just getting killed, and they can't spend the money on having a $3 million purse over there when they're having to lay people off and all these austerity measures and everything else that I've learned about since I've been over there. It's difficult because they're Category 11, which I believe is the Q School, their Challenge Tour / Q School category. They're not getting in events. As a matter of fact, in Portugal, they converted the third hole into a par four in hopes to get a little extra daylight to allow six more guys to play in the field. So within a week of the tournament, they expanded the field, I think, from 132 to 138 to try to get some of these guys in. It's tough on them because they play so many events where they're co-sanctioned. And when you look at the Asian events that they have, in order to have those events in Asia, they've got to give up, 30 to 40% of the spots to the Asian players. Well, those are the events that play the appearance money, So they're getting the big name players like Rory and Graham and Darren Clark and all these guys, which doesn't leave a whole lot of room for the Q School category. And they're not getting in tournaments, and it's frustrating for them. And I don't really know how they're going to fix it.
Yeah, that is an interesting problem. I wanted to ask you, it was unconfirmed. It was written in the one of the San Francisco papers that the eight players who went to Turkey last week are all members of the USPGA Tour, and all had to get releases from thefries.com to go over there. And the rumor that was circulated was that each of those players would have to play thefries.com. They agreed to at least once in the next 3 years. That remains to be seen, and that did not come from Andy Pazder. And you don't even need to comment on it. I mean, it's a printed rumor, so I'm willing to say it with the codicil that I can't verify it. What I do want to ask you about, though, is the release process, because I mean, in the 9 years that I played full time on the PGA Tour, I never once had to ask for a release. But you certainly did. Was it really just a matter of writing a letter or calling and saying, "Can I go play in Scotland the week before the British Open?" Or was it a longer process than that?
No, I mean it's pretty simple. I mean, really. I mean, if you, I think you're granted. I believe you're granted three releases per year, which I believe can come at any time. I think there's probably a few more little caveats to that, but at the end of the day, I think that you're allowed a certain number of events. You write the letter, your manager writes the letter, and you say, look, this is what I'm going to do. And, to my knowledge, unless this rumor is true, unless the tour is starting to change, they're going to change the regs book, you don't have to, you can play whatever tournaments you want. I don't know where that rumor came from, but it's really a pretty benign process. Like Loch Lomond, Phil loved to play at Loch Lomond, play the Scottish Open right before the British. It's as simple as just writing a letter and saying, this is what I'm going to do. And there's really not a whole lot they can say about it.
Yeah. It seemed like the type of a rumor that could be dangerous in that. And I don't want to get you off on a tangent here, but it seemed like, well, what if you're the tournament director at John Deere, if you're the tournament director at some of the other tournaments where players may go and play elsewhere, and then you find out that they're, you know, that this was actually happening, I think I'd be up in arms a little bit if I was tournament director.
Well, I'm sorry for interrupting, but more importantly, you know, when I was in Europe, I was talking to some guys, because that tournament, if you know that Brad Faxon and Billy Andrade's tournament is an unofficial event, but it happens on a Monday and a Tuesday. The event in Turkey, I believe, was it a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or is it a Thursday, Friday, Saturday event? I can't remember. And it directly coincided with the Portugal Masters, which I thought was really a slap in the face to Portugal. And I brought this up to an official at the KLM Open in Amsterdam, and he said that there are certain things that they do over there. And if you can look it up, you can read it. It's been announced that there will be a $7 million event at that particular golf course next year on the European Tour. It's going to be sometime, I believe, in November. So at the risk of, you know, harming one of their events, a la the Portugal Masters, they decided they're going to have 8 guys come in and show what a great place Turkey is. And now magically this event has appeared on the PG or on the European Tour. So there's a lot of stuff that kind of goes on behind the scenes that seems a little kind of squirrely, you know, for lack of a better term. But I think that's just the way that the business is going. You know, the PGA Tour really puts out the best product and has the best sponsors. I do think that there is going to be a time that the tour is going to have to look into saying, hey, look, if you want to be a member of this tour, you're going to have to do, you know, X, Y, and Z. And that's just the way it's going. And I think that's the way it needs to go.
Yeah. And they're going to risk alienating a lot of players who are trying their best to be loyal. We're talking to Sean McKeel, obviously. Spent a lot of time in Europe and in the desert this year. Where's the coolest place you went this year so far?
Well, I'll tell you what, Dubai is a very fascinating city. It's, you know, Todd Hamilton and I, you know, spent some time there at the Emirates Mall. They've got the indoor ski slope in there, which is always interesting to see for the first time. But, you know, I've been to some great places. I really have. You know, only playing, you know, really 11 events in Europe. You know, I've tried to pick the cities that were easy to get to. You know, there was one particular tournament, I think the Kranz of the Omega Masters, I think it was in Switzerland. And it was basically a flight into Geneva, and then you got to take a 2-hour train ride up to where you're going to pick up a courtesy car. Then it's another hour ride. I decided to skip that just because maybe I've gotten a little spoiled and didn't really want to pack all my stuff on a train. But, you know, been a lot of interesting things happen. You know, Seville, I shot the low round of the day. I won a leg of ham, which was delivered to me in Portugal. So I put it out. I had it delivered to the hotel. The Tivoli Victoria was a beautiful hotel right there at the golf course. It shows up in a box. It was 7 kilos, so it's just over 14 pounds. I take it out of the box, throw it over my shoulder, and I walk down to the clubhouse. And I meet with the chef, who speaks a little English, and basically wanted him to have it prepared for the afternoon lunch on Saturday. So that's what I did. I had a 14-pound leg of ham, hooves attached, and it was put out on the buffet table there for lunch on Saturday. It was a little too strong for me, but there are some interesting things that go on over there. But I've enjoyed it.
I mean, it's fun. Did you get to take the family at all?
You know, they didn't come this year. They were wanting to come to a few of the events. But again, you know, the PGA Tour does such a great job with the child care. I mean, the girls that work there are incredibly friendly and very knowledgeable and very helpful when it comes to the kids. And they don't have that great of a facility on the European Tour. They do the best that they can, and not every week do they have that. So I didn't take them over there. They just it just didn't work out really with kids and all their activities.
I understand. They do have a lot of activities, don't they?
Yeah, well, we got soccer and swimming team and all the stuff the kids are doing. So, you know, all the great things that they do and some of the things that I miss out on. But, some of the things that I've said today really sounds kind of a knock on the European Tour. And I'll tell you this, when I was in at the KLM Open this year, and my caddy actually says, well, I don't see you're not in the Pro-Am next week in Italy. I'm like, oh, well, maybe they just didn't feel like giving me an invite. And 5 minutes later, I get a message that I failed to commit to the tournament in Italy. So I'm in KLM. I've got airline tickets. I've got hotel reservations. And, you know, through the next day, they worked very hard for me to get me the very last, sponsor exemption to play in the event. So, you know, they've kind of gone above and beyond the call of duty, I think, with, trying to help me out, help some of the Americans, because there's me and Todd Hamilton and Rich Beam. And, of course, Ben was playing over there till he won in San Antonio. But it's been a good experience. And I think even if I get my tour card back at tour school, I probably will rejoin, even if I can't meet my commitment, because there's a certain number of events over there that I'd like to play in at the end of the year with Q School and the playoff thing going on in, basically August and September, that I will be able to play. So it's been a great place, but I'm my backside's tired of sitting on 9 and 10 hour flights, I can tell you.
I don't think there's any question about that. I understand it's let's talk about what's going forward. You have Q School now. You're exempt, I'm sure, at least to the second, if not to the finals. What's the situation there?
Well, I got back Monday night from Portugal. I've not really unpacked. I'm kind of doing laundry, and I leave Saturday night for Shanghai. So it's kind of a quick turnaround for me. But I get back from there on about the 30th, home for 10 days, and I'm going to go to Houston and go to the second stage of tour school and hopefully get back, back out to the finals, and which are back in California again. So that's kind of where my schedule lies right now. So we'll kind of see how that pans out. But it really, as far as any more earning opportunities, it looks like this tournament coming up is going to be the last one of the year before I have to, really kind of get serious about this tour school.
Now, how do you get to Shanghai from Memphis?
Yeah. Well, quickly, it's a flight to Atlanta. It's a Korean Air flight, about a 14 to 15 hour flight from Korea to Seoul. And look, I'm kind of playing the part of travel agent. I've kind of left my manager off of this one, but I've got about a 7 hour layover in Korea. Then I catch a flight up to Shanghai, and then come back that next Monday from Shanghai to Seoul, Seoul back to Atlanta, then Atlanta to Memphis. So it's there's really not an easy way to get there from Memphis. But look, it's a $7 million event that BMW's putting on. There's no cut, so it's well worth going.
No question about it. Hey, before we let you go, there is a loyal listener, Duran, who lives right there in Memphis, who wants to say hello to you. Duran, you're on with Sean and I.
Hey, Sean. Welcome back, buddy.
Hey, my friend Duran. How are you?
I'm great. Well, John, let me tell you something. People don't realize what a great player is, Sean, and above all, what a great person he is. I mean, a lot of guys on tour doing so much for their communities, and Sean does so much for the Make-A-Wish in Memphis and other nonprofit, and he really is not gaining credit for that, and he's doing an unbelievable job for Memphis, and I just want people to know that.
You know what? I'm glad you called in. I am, because, look, I know the type of person that Sean is. I've known him for 15 or 20 years now, and I think that every time he comes on the show, he gains another huge chunk of fans. Where there's a lot of people out there pulling for you this year, Sean.
Well, I appreciate that. Duran, that was really, really thoughtful, really nice of you to say that. I mean, look, I'm at an age now at 43 and I think, John, you're right about my age. I'm still looking to play some good competitive golf, but I really enjoyed, helping out. The Make-A-Wish is obviously my charity of choice, and I've enjoyed doing that. But there comes a time in every person's career when it all comes to an end, and I don't want to be left, when I decide my career is over with nothing to do. And so it's been a great experience for me to be involved with them. And you never know. I still want to play and everything. So we'll see kind of what happens over the next few years. But it's a lot of fun.
Are you? Let me ask you this: are you getting it out there with these young kids?
You know, I don't have any problems getting it out there. I think what's happened to me, you know, is that you know, my shoulder surgery that I had 4 years ago is just really kind of really hampered some of the things I used to be able to do. I'm really amazed. I played this year in Spain in May, and I was hitting what I thought was pretty long for me. And there was a young man by the name of Nicholas Kolsarts, who now is probably a household name. And I was looking back at the places he was hitting it, and I just couldn't believe it. And a lot of these Europeans, they hit it so far. And I think it's just the methodology. I just think that when I was learning, and you too, John, I mean, yeah, distance was always great. But accuracy, able to move the ball around the golf course, short games always had, you've always had to have a good short game. But now I just think that these kids are just taught to hit the ball as far as they can. I will tell you this, my golf coach in college, Sam Carmichael, up in Martinsville, Indiana, told me when he coached the women that he always wanted to find the girls that hit it the furthest. Now, Michelle Redmond, you know, she was a LPGA star and won numerous tournaments. He told me that he said he always wanted girls that could hit it far because you can't teach length, but you can teach them to hit it straight. And I just think that the technique, the equipment, the technology and everything else is maybe lend itself to that type of game now. You know, these guys are hitting it so far that if they are in the rough, it's you know, a wedge or a nine or even an eight iron. So it is difficult, but I've, you know, I know what I can do, you know, when I'm playing well. And I think you have to try to play those strengths. If you get caught up in trying to, you know, keep it up with other players, I mean, you're just going to be looking, you know, better get your resume ready.
Yes, I'm familiar with that. I played in front of Bubba in a, what I guess it was Nationwide Tour event. At the time, several years, 10, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago, and he was just a young kid. And I looked back and thought, I'm finished. This is the end of me. That's why I asked. I mean, I watch Stricker now, and I watch David Thompson, and certainly your game falls right in line with theirs, and they've gotten so much longer than they did 5, 7 years ago when I was playing with them. And you know, some guys were able to make that transition, and other guys weren't. And clearly, you're longer now than you were in 03 or 05 or 07.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's no doubt there, you know. But the good thing about Bubba is that he only takes up one spot, you know. So he's right. Only one of 156 guys that are playing. So if you can look at it that way, and look at Luke Donald. I mean, how long did he remain at number one in the world? You know, he's able to get him. So there are ways to do it. You know, do you feel a little awkward or a little embarrassed when you're out driven by 60 yards out there? And, you know, but hey, you know, you just got to look at the number at the end of the tournament and hopefully you're, you know, at least one shot better than they are. But, it is difficult. It is difficult because the tour has changed so much. And of course, you know, Jack is Nicholas has really, really harped about the ball and not so much really the other technology. It's really been about the ball. And I don't really know where do you start? You know, where do you start dialing back the ball? How do you do that? You know, I wouldn't even know where to begin. So I think you either adapt or you aren't able to compete and you just find something else to do. And that's really the bottom line.
Well, Sean, we can't thank you enough for your time tonight. It's always a pleasure, and we wish you a lot of luck in Shanghai. Go beat Rory that week. If you beat Rory, you're going to be just fine in Shanghai.
Yeah, I think so too. But John, I just want to tell you, I listen to your show every day that I'm back, and I really enjoy it. And I'm glad to see you're having a lot of success with what you're doing.
I'm having a lot of fun. I don't know if I'm having success, but I'm having a heck of a lot of fun. Sean, thanks a lot. Good luck to you and safe travels.
Okay. All right. See you guys.